Killer Bees, The Wheelhouse, and Charlie Polillo all reside here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You may recognize the name and the voice. Brian Barrett used to work here, worked for Yahoo or whatever it was at the time he was working here. Also, you could hear him a lot right here on ESPN 97.5. Now he's with WEEI in Boston. Brian, what's up?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. So this team just kicked the Yankees' ass. They destroyed the Rays. There was not a lot of expectation. So we're doing well. We stayed on the air for the post-game show until about 2 a.m., had a bunch of the players on. I mean, it's been absolutely crazy. Think about this. They lost 2 of 3 to the Orioles down the stretch. They got swept by the Yankees, and somehow here they are.
Right. Yeah, it's just getting hot at the right time. And, boy, those bats are hot, that's for sure. And, whoa, you guys are having a real big week. You were able to come, your football team was able to come in here and beat a juggernaut like the Texans. So congratulations on that. Looking great. Yeah,
yeah, that's a different story, huh? Damian Harris put the ball on the carpet. Yeah, that team has some real issues right now.
I don't feel like, I could be wrong, but the Astros have had some really good success against the Red Sox this year, Brian. But I feel like it was Schwarber and a healthy Chris Sale make this. To me, I hit reset on the whole season, and which you have to do anyway. But reset everything that's happened, and this looks like a really good heavyweight matchup.
Yeah, so the matchups against the Astros destroyed the Red Sox in both series earlier this season. They were lucky to take, what, 2 games against them, and that was in the midst of Rafael Devers. If you guys remember, like, Devers couldn't hit a fastball at that point, and they just hit on a fastball, a million fastballs in a row, and I only slightly exaggerate now. I would still do it. I would throw him fastballs up in the zone because right now he's dealing with a bad arm. His right arm's not good. I mean, he's had some weird swings, although he did hit 2 home runs in that series against the Rays, so he's been able to turn down a bit. But the Schwarber point's the really great point because this offense has been totally different. I mean, they went from 24th in walk rate to 3rd in walk rate. They went from 11th in on-base percentage to 3rd in on-base percentage. And now J.D. Martinez is hitting 6 for this team. And Alex Cora put Schwarber in the leadoff spot. And the offense has really taken off since he's made that move. Kike Hernandez had a great series. Schwarber had a great series. Bogarts, J.D. Martinez, Verdugo, all these guys are hitting right now. So it does seem like right now the offense has completely woken up. I do feel like there was a sense of there was no expectations for this team. And then they were leading the division for so long. They then blew a huge lead in the wild card against the Yankees. They went into those final 2 weeks where there was a situation where they were pressing. And now it felt like once they got to that game against the Yankees, they loosened up and Cora is really good at the us versus the world mentality. The only thing about Sale, though, he's a problem. And I don't know how comfortable Cora is going to feel going to him. His last 2 outings have been horrible. Right now he doesn't have a changeup, so he only has 2 pitches. Opponents hitting 450 against that pitch. It's just been really bad. And when he gets ahead of hitters, he can't put them away. They're hitting 300 against him. So it's a real issue. I feel bad for the guy because he wants to do it. He just doesn't have the stuff right now. And if he looked okay when he first came back, and now his past 2 outings have just been bad. Like, from a Red Sox perspective, I'm watching him warm up in the bullpen the other night. I'm like, I'm hoping they don't bring him into the game. I mean, I really don't think he's a good matchup against the Rays and especially the Astros. Now, the Astros have lit him up in the postseason before when he was healthy in 17. I mean, Bregman took him deep twice. Altuve took him deep. I would be really worried about Sale, and that's why, you know, Evaldi's going to get the ball on Friday. I don't know when Sale factors into the series. They're going to have to pitch him at some point, but I'm really worried about that.
Yeah, he doesn't look good at all. Listen, this is going to be a hitter, so you're going to have to score runs on this thing because there's a chance that McCullers doesn't pitch either, which would be, you know, horrific for the Astros. There's a chance you see Greinke in this series, which would be very advantageous to, you know, the Boston Red Sox, that's for sure, with the way that he has thrown lately. A Sale is that is a real problem, but Schwarber at the top of the lineup is just such a great. They did that. They started that in Washington, and he went on an unbelievable run. And he's the kind of guy I would imagine, even though he hasn't been there all that long, that he's a catalyst and he's one of the favorites in that locker room already.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. He's already like a team spokesman. He's been here for like a month and a half, and it's really it totally, and Corey said this, it totally changed the dynamic of his team because they didn't have a lot of guys that had that similar approach where they're patient at the plate. And having him at the top of the lineup in front of Kike, who has started to, like, an absolute destroyer of the postseason, but having him in front of Bogart and in front of Devers and in front of guys like J.D. Martinez, it just sets a totally different tone. Now, here's the concern. He's playing first base, and he's going to be playing first base in this series. I mean, it is ugly over there. The guy's never played first base before, and he thought, okay, maybe they can figure this thing out. There was a game on Sunday where he just completely threw the ball over Nathan Eovaldi's head when he was covering first base. And then he made a joke of it later when he got the toss right. He, like, played up to the crowd. He did the hat. So that's one thing I'd be really concerned about in this series from a Red Sox perspective. The defense did not hurt him in the last series. But this has been inarguably the worst defensive team in baseball this season. They're last in defensive efficiency. They're second in errors to only the Miami Marlins. Yeah, the Marlins. So that's how bad they've been defensively. And you hope that that Schwarber thing doesn't hurt them over there at first base. Because obviously, Cora knows the strength of this team. He's going to play Schwarber because he's that good at the plate. And you need to do that because the lineup is so deep. When you get JD hitting sixth in the lineup and Renfro hitting seventh, it's a totally different dynamic. And to your point, John, they're going to have to flood the Astros. It's their only chance. I mean, they're not going to go out there and put up zeros against this guy. I mean, you're hoping that Eovaldi can do that. But I do think one of the advantages they have, not so much in the race series because Cora just, like, played into what Kevin Cash likes to do. Cora completely outmanaged Kevin Cash. He put up multiple traps for Cash, and he took them every time. So he's a different guy in the postseason. There's a reason. He's won 78% of his games. He's 15-4. He's definitely an advantage.
Yeah, I John and I talked about this a little bit, Brian. I expect things to be quiet from the. We know Tapera made a comment about the Astros.
Please, Brian, can you get one of the Red Sox to say something?
Yeah,
about the
it'd
Astros?
Be great if the Red Sox could mention, like, those guys cheat and everyone knows it. Just say something like
cheat us.
And
they
actually say, us. And we know the biggest cheater of all is Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't do well at all when you call him a cheater.
Yeah. So can you get somebody to do?
Can you look into that, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, or Correa. I mean, dude, that guy was an ass clown. I don't know why the hell you would say something that. Why poke the bear? You may have got yourself back in a series. I mean, that guy's a complete clown. And, like, they're doing something now when everybody's watching. I mean, that's a dumbass comment. But I do think it's kind of awkward, right, guys? Because even Alex Cora said when the Astros came here, he felt bad after the game. He said, that was weird for me. That was awkward for me. And he talked about him and Marwin, who was with the team at the time. I think it's really weird for Cora. These guys are getting booed, and he was, you know, part of the scheme. He was the guy that got suspended for a year. And I just feel like I can't wait until 48 hours from now, or a little over 48 hours from now, when we actually play the game, because I do feel like, to your guys' point, the next 2 days, it's going to be about Cora with his time with the Astros thing again. I would hope the Red Sox fans don't blow him. I mean, Cora told everybody. He's like, I felt bad when this is happening. So I don't see that. It would just be the normal, like, you know, raucous Boston crowd when they come here. I don't think it's going to be anything to do about that anymore. And I don't think it should be, quite frankly. I mean, how long are we going to talk about this crap? You know what I mean? Cora's apologizing like 2 weeks ago about it still. Like, the guy's still answering questions about it. You guys know how long it's been going on with the Astros. Like, quite frankly, I'm sick of the damn storyline.
Well, yeah, now more than ever, and it's going to be hilarious. You know, the before game one introductions at Fenway, they're going to cheer wildly for Alex Cora and boo all the Astros,
all those cheaters.
Yeah, those cheaters, you cheat us, and Cora, they're going to say.
But Red Sox players, who a lot of them were involved with stuff in the past. I mean, the gamesmanship and all that stuff. I don't think they're going to make the comments. You know, I don't think this is going to be a factor. I think the real factor is going to be, can the Astros cool down the red hot bats? And frankly, can the Red Sox cool down the Astros hot bats? It's going to be, you know, who can tamp down the other's red hot offense? That's going to be the, you know, right off the bat in game one, that's the storyline.
I think that's
the biggest thing, because if you look at it in terms of the Red Sox pitching staff right now, you feel good about one starter, and that's Eovaldi. Now, Eduardo Rodriguez threw the ball well in game four. He was absolutely atrocious in game one of the series. And we talked about Sale earlier. And then the problem now is, like, if you need long innings after Eovaldi or after Eduardo Rodriguez, then Pivetta emerges there, who's been pretty good for the team, not great. Now, Houck's been the biggest weapon for this team out of the bullpen. He was not great the other night, but he was going on fumes, 61 pitches. But Houck basically saved their season last Friday night when Sale went an inning and Houck comes out of a bullpen. The kid was absolutely filthy. I mean, since they put him in the bullpen, he's thrown north of 50% slider, so he's completely changed things up. He's a weapon, but how often can you use him, right? So if you use him on Friday, when can you use him again? So that's the problem the Red Sox are going to run into. So that's why it's so imperative tomorrow night that if Aldi goes out there and he at least gives them five, because if he doesn't give them five, it really screws up their pitching for the remainder of the series.
Yep. That's Brian Barrett right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's going to be a good one. I think it'll be awfully exciting. This Red Sox team is playing really well, but so are these Astros. So this will be fun. Brian, as always, we appreciate it, man. Good talking to you. Have a lot of fun up there in Boston.
All right, enjoyed it, guys. That was going to be a fun series.
Yep. That's Brian Barrett right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, taking one here, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in here. More on that. You wanted to talk more about that. That Gruden stuff.
I want to get into the what's taking place with Adam Schefter, because this could be a sign of what's to come, where anybody, I mean, that's a lot of emails.
Yeah.
Anybody else could get caught up. This one has to do more with journalistic stuff than it has to do with calling people names.
All right.
So we'll do that here in a second. But it does show, when we come back, we'll show you how this could be just the beginning of a lot more with this story. TGS Insurance, same thing. It's just the beginning. When you text the word money to 232323, you are going to get a text back that says, what is your address? And you give it to them, and within 15 seconds, you're going to have firm quote on your homeowner's insurance. And the average savings right now is up over $900 for homeowner's insurance over the course of the year. Now, how is that at that high? I'll tell you how. So many people stay with their same homeowner's insurance, and they don't even shop for prices. And then if they do, they shop one or two places. TGS Insurance allows you to shop multiple A-rated insurance companies with one text message. So it's very, very easy. Something that would take you hours to do by yourself, it gets done in 15 seconds. And guess what? The savings are yours. It's real, and it's money that goes back into your pocket. Text the word money, yes, to 232323. That's money to 232323. That's TGSinsurance.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Ian just asked me about Simple Seats, and I told him it's awesome.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is.
No fees. If you've ever bought secondary market seats, which is fine. That's how you have to get into events a lot now.
Let's talk. Have a whole segment about fees.
Let's talk about that again. Let's
Dell
get
and
Raheel fees.
Love those. Have those
yeah,
that,
no,
those
I want
segments.
Them to be able to listen to
yeah,
the fees.
Yeah, because it's important.
No, Simple Seats, they have no fees. And when you catch fees, when the tickets go higher,
yeah,
and your fees are tied percentage-wise to your, like, it's a gratuity. What
gratuity
service are you offering me? Why am I paying you a gratuity?
Gratuity?
You got
it's
hit like
40%
that?
More.
You got hit like
it's
that.
It's unbelievable how much it was. Stupid.
So here's what's going on with Adam Schefter. We know about all the leaked emails or whatever it is, the redacted emails, redacted information, inside emails that were obtained through Freedom of Information Act. So what is there like? Is it 650,000 emails they're going through? Is that the number I saw?
Yeah.
650,000 emails. They're going through that looking for whatever they can find.
Looking for anything John Gruden says, apparently.
So here's what, yeah, well, they're going to find a lot of stuff. Here's Adam Schefter. He caught one yesterday, too. The LA Times brought this one out. Now, I'm going to be interesting to get your take on this one, and we'll see what you think. Kevin Draper, who is a reporter with New York Times Sports, said Adam Schefter sent Bruce Allen an unpublished draft of a story and called him, quote, Mr. Editor, according to court filings the LA Times uncovered. And here's from the article in LA Times. Several emails between Allen and journalists are part of the filing, too. In one of them from July of 2011, ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter sent Allen a draft of an unpublished story that was published later the same day. Quote, please let me know if you see anything that should be added, changed, tweaked, Schefter wrote. Thanks, Mr. Editor, for that and the trust. Plan to file this to ESPN about 6 a.m. Draper goes on to say, I'm not exactly sure what this statement from ESPN is doing, but it's certainly not a condemnation of a blatantly unethical journalistic piece. Here's what ESPN said in their statement. Without sharing all the specifics of the reporter's process for a story from 10 years ago during the NFL lockout, we believe that nothing is more important to Adam and ESPN than providing fans the most accurate, fair, and complete story. So they showing they have their back. Another pretty interesting and not unethical illustration of how things work from the court filing. Drew Rosenhaus sends people, including Bruce Allen, an email saying Navarro Bowman is available for a trade. Allen forwards it to Schefter. Schefter reports it. You're just finding out how the sausage is made. I'm sorry if you don't like how that works, but this is the same thing that works with Shams and Woj and anybody that is a really, really good insider. Have you ever noticed that nobody ever calls out Adam Schefter? We'll get to what happened with him. No one ever calls him out for missing. Like, you never hear about him. You know, the story that Adam Schefter reported, that's just flat out false. Have you ever noticed that you never hear that about him?
I get that all the time.
Well, you don't
lies.
Have
you sit on a bed of lies. On
you don't
a throne
have a blue
lies.
Check mark. Did the throne of lies hurt you? Did that comment sting you a little bit?
No, I love it.
But Adam Schefter gets it directly from the sources. That's why no one ever says he's wrong, because he knows he's right on it. Now, the fact that, and where do you think he gets his information from? He gets it from agents. He gets it from general managers. He gets it from, you know, head coaches, people in the know. They pass it along to him, and there's a quid pro quo. This is people who get information. Mark Berman used to call my dad when he was at U of H, when he was young and hustling. And my dad, and this during U of H, had a little scandal. And my dad was honest with Mark Berman and told him stuff, but Mark also knew he couldn't use it. But he had it for context, and Mark didn't burn anybody. And Mark hasn't burned anybody for years. That's why he is Mr. Scoop.
That's why people tell him
stuff. That's why people tell him stuff. The Adam Schefter thing is I think it's a pretty bad look, John, because you're basically saying it was about a lockout, which there's a player side and an owner side. And what it looks like is Adam Schefter is allowing the owner, tell me what needs to be tweaked, added, omitted, whatever. That's too far. That is considered that's not following the standards of journalism. And by the way, people who are act outraged about this one, read lots of stuff that has very poor sourcing. Like, don't get on a high horse right now if you quote some of the poorly sourced stuff that's out there with new media. Don't even, or you use stuff that's on social media to back up your arguments or to start arguments. But I think it's kind of a bad look for Schefter. You know, honestly, journalistically, for the guy that he is, he's probably embarrassed about that one, that he let a GM read an unfiled article and make whatever change, you know, have alterations.
I don't have any problem with that at all.
I get what he's doing. Good. More than like, this is why it's not a huge
accuracy.
Deal. But it's his wording that looks bad. Tell me what needs to be tweaked or omitted or added. That's what looks bad, is you're telling him, what do I need to add in here? However, when you get right to the core of it, John, what you said is right. Adam wants to get it right.
That's it.
He wants to get it right. However,
there's nothing wrong journalistically with what he did.
Oh, I disagree with that.
No.
I think journalistically they will tell you, you don't give final say to one person who you're covering on the story.
Well,
when it's about players, and it was about the lockout, you don't give him final say so in that.
Yeah, you want to make sure that it's exactly,
I agree with
right.
That.
Exactly right.
I agree with that. But his wording, Mr. Editor. And
yeah, he was probably
I know
was
he's joking, but you don't say, what do I need to add? You just say, is there anything missing here? Information. I think it could have been done differently, but giving him final read before you submit it, that looks bad. I don't think you give him a full read of the article. Yeah. You ask him specific questions about.
No.
So this is what I have.
This happens all the time.
No, I know it does. Yeah. I think it doesn't follow journalistic standards and practices. If Richie would come on, he might tell us that. I mean, an old school writer. Who went to school and follows all the rules. I think they would tell you this is not what you're supposed to do.
I'll bet you. Yeah, there's a lot of reporters that will let the.
I think it happens.
Now, if it's something that's salacious that is, you know, is going to hurt whoever is reading it, then no, obviously not. But if it's just a story, you can absolutely let someone edit it not edit it per se, but you can absolutely let somebody proofread it. And make sure that everything is fine. I don't have a problem at all. By the way, the Killer Bees are going to have the New York Times writer Ken Belson on. He's one of the co-writers of the article that took down Gruden. So he's going to be on with the Killer. Look at the Killer Bees working it. Getting Ken Belson on. Did Dell do that? Did Dell go out and get a guest? for somebody?
His name is Bell.
Bell? No, he's no Ken Belson.
No, Killer Bees. He goes by Bell now.
Oh, he's Bell now.
Bell all the
way. B-E-L-L-E?
No, just B-E-L.
Oh, Bell. Just B-E-L.
Bell.
Oh, so they're the three Killer Bees.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's why they're Killer Bees.
Oh, I got it. I got it.
Bagwell, Barry, Bell, you know, BGO. It's Killer Bees.
Yes.
Baminiti. It's Killer Bees. Bell, Branham, blank.
Yeah.
Or Bolale.
Bolale.
Maybe it's Bolale.
I don't know if it's Bolale. No, that. I think his B is at the beginning. Is the.
Oh, hey, Del.
There he is.
Del just calls the B word. Killer Bees. Look at that. Killer Bees. Del just came in here and said we were bitches. And I'm assuming he could say that word because it starts with a B. Bell Bolale will join us on Friday to talk our college football at Bell Bolale. We'll do that. That's when the Astros jump off Friday. So back on, unless you want to keep going with the Adam Schefter stuff.
No,
that happens
I think it's
all
a
the time. And guess what? There's a lot of quid pro quo. No one really wants to know how the sausage is made in anything. No. You really don't. You like Woj bombs, and that's fine. Woj bombs, Woj gets. You don't want Shams or Woj or you don't want to know how these guys get their stuff and what they do. They run everything by everybody. It's what happens. I don't think it's journalistically doesn't really follow the standards, but it is what it is. That's why I'm not too. I'm not outraged by any of that stuff.
Mm-mm.
Did he say? Like, he didn't call anyone names or anything like that.
No, and if you call someone a name now, boy, goodness gracious, you're going to be canceled forever and ever. So,
well, Del just called us a bitch.
Yeah, he just called us an ugly name. Do you think,
yeah, is he canceled?
Yeah, banceled.
You can say the C word when it comes to cancel. You can say that. It's only the names that are the B's.
Oh,
it's not every word. You don't have to change words.
It's not every word.
Start them with B. That's not how it works. It does help that the last name of the guy, what's his name from New York Times?
Belson. He's one of the B's now.
Helps. Yeah. It helps.
No. If you want to be on their show, your name better start with B.
I remember Tony La Russa. It got me so mad. It sent me off on one of my rants about Tony La Russa and the Cardinals. I got it somewhere in here. I've actually got the sound from you were out that day. Tony La Russa talked about how the Astros were cheating because, you know, the rotating sign in center field that flips, he's like, they were intentionally doing it so we couldn't see the fastballs. They were cheating. I lost my mind. Tony La Russa suckled from Mark McGwire's steroid-based teat
for years. And McGwire.
And Canseco, well, McGwire,
yeah.
Canseco where? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With the A's. Canseco, McGwire, and maybe Pujols.
Yeah.
And maybe Pujols. All I know is this much. This guy is complaining about that cheating. This guy literally suckled from the steroid teat and complained because he said the Astros signage in center field was rotating and that you couldn't see fastballs or you couldn't see baseball because of the road, and they were intentionally cheating. I mean, Tony La Russa is the best. He's the best at coming up with the stupidest things ever to say.
All right, 926.
Oh, White Sox Dave's calling in?
White Sox Dave's calling in?
I sent something in Twitter. Somebody said to call in. We got no beef with White Sox. I actually think he's taking a lot of crap because of the Cusack thing. I can't wait to talk to him. Legitimately.
Yeah,
I can't
we'll
wait
get him
to
on
talk
the other
to
side.
Him.
Yeah.
Good.
All right, we'll get White Sox Dave on the other side. How about that? Yeah, they can have Belson. We got White Sox Dave. Next, right here. ESPN,
we win.
97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN. 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 929 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, White Sox Dave joining us right now. Dave.
Barstool Sports.
Barstool Sports. Dave, I was in Chicago for the series yesterday. I want to tell you something.
I'm from
Chicago.
You're from the South Side.
Yeah, I went to St. Lawrence. But we're Astro people now, Dave. Sorry. But here's the deal.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Here's the deal is I've been to the last, I went to Cleveland, Boston, Tampa, and now Chicago for the first round of the Astros playoffs. Four out of these last 5 years, nothing last year, obviously, because of COVID. It was the best atmosphere. It was by far the best atmosphere in Chicago these past couple of days. The fans were fantastic. And I grew up a White Sox fan, and I can tell you it was never that good when I was there. So I got to give big ups to the city for the way they supported that team this week.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the credit goes to the game day operations staff. They knocked the light show and the blackout out of the park. I was at game three. I was about to say game one. I was at game three at Sox Park, and it's by far and away the best atmosphere I've ever been a part of for any sport. It was electrifying, and I still get chills thinking about it, even though years didn't turn out this way. But, I mean, it's good that you grew up on the south side of Chicago because, you know, like, White Sox fans, they live and breathe White Sox baseball. They think a lot of their money and finances is working class families into the White Sox, and it's very near and dear to them. So, like, I don't think it should really surprise a lot of people considering the 13-year layoff in between home playoff games. I mean, last year notwithstanding because of COVID, like you said, but yeah, it was just a home run, no pun intended. It was incredible.
Yesterday was good too. I didn't think it'd be as good. Obviously, the blackout was awesome, especially at night. It was really, really, really cool, and the fans were. And I gotta tell you though, it's rough. It's a rough crowd. I can tell you that, Dave. I got accused. My wife cheats on me because
John found out his wife was cheating on him from
the game,
from a woman in the concourse.
Yeah, in the concourse, she screamed at me, "Your wife is cheating!" I'm like, "What? How do you know this?" And that's very troubling right now during a game. I'm trying to watch a game.
Yeah, that's one I haven't heard before. I mean, there's idiots everywhere, and I guess that's just one of our idiots, and I would say disavow. But yeah, I'm sorry you dealt with that.
Yeah, no problem. It was intense. I can tell you that. Listen, all this crap though, Tapera and Tony La Russa with the hitting Abreu. They're just deflecting from how crappy they played in this series. They were terrible defensively. The pitching was terrible, and they didn't come up with any clutch hits.
Yeah, no. I was so drained from – I heard you guys talk about before the break, the whole two-sack thing, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a minute, but I was just so drained from the emotional roller coaster over the last few days that I didn't even bother going back and looking what Tony said. I did hear what he said, and – I mean, this is how I tell people. I was like DMing with a few Astros friends, ones that can actually have a conversation, good baseball talk, and they're like, "What is Tony? What is he saying? This for? This is stupid. It's wrong." Tony's just wired differently. You know, he's an old school dude, and he thinks that baseball is still played like that. I don't. This is the second time in a couple of weeks. You got into it with AJ Hinch, your guy's old guy. Just a couple weeks ago in the last year's year because Abreu got plunked. I mean, he's just a guy that'll defend his players to the death. And right or wrong, he's hell-bent on what he feels is the right way to play the game. I don't like it necessarily, but at the same time, I've kind of learned to tune it out. But as far as Tapera, I'll say this. I think the Astros and I'll put the Rays up there, and probably the Dodgers and Giants, those four organizations, those teams are so far advanced when it comes to picking up pitch tipping. And I don't want people to think I'm saying anything, they're doing anything illegal. I'm saying they're just so far above the rest of baseball when it comes to knowing what the pitcher's throwing by judging body language and pitch tipping and stuff like that and relaying signs. But I mean, if they're good at it and if they stay within the rules, nobody can say a word about it because that's within the rules. Like, you guys got to get better. So I don't think that Tapera was saying they were doing anything illegal, but I think the whole cloud of the 2000, whatever year it was through 2018, still hangs with them, kind of guilt by association. But I do think that they do know what's coming in a lot of the time, make it way easier to hit.
Yeah, but we thought it was interesting. We know you picked up that you liked our Yankee radio segment that John and I did after the Yankees were eliminated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And but one of the things you said in your article on Barstool when you picked it up was that you were Mr. All About It at first, and you're at Mr. Whatever. Like, it's kind of over, the science and stuff. But I get that the fans are always going to be upset, and it's always something that people are going to shoot at the Astros about. I think the thing that we in Houston found funny, and I don't even know if you're aware of this, but literally throughout the year, Jose Altuve has this uncanny ability after TV shows somebody taunting him or whatever, people make comments about specifically Altuve. He always has this uncanny ability to like wreck people, wreck fans and other players who's like, it's amazing. And then the video came out yesterday of you watching a game with other guys at Barstool. And we know you're a White Sox fan, so, you know, respect for that. But you made a comment about Altuve, which was fine, about him being a little guy. Totally understandable. It took 2 seconds later, and he's hitting an exit velo of 150 into the stands. I think it may have put a man in a hospital. It was hit on such a line. And that's like classic Altuve this year of just when you think, you got a little shot at him, and he comes back and he gets the last laugh.
Yeah, like he is such a pain in the ass to pitch against, and I hate when he's up, but I have absolutely nothing but respect for him as a baseball player. I hate playing against him, but I would pay all the money in the world for him to be the White Sox second baseman. And you're an idiot if you say otherwise, no matter who you root for. But people were saying that Correa is the better heel because he leans into the whole all the post mortem of the cheating scandal, you know, 2000 whatever year it was. I didn't realize that. Like, I didn't have all my facts right. I thought, like, I never even really cared about all the cheating stuff because the Astros were the scapegoat. I think that there are many teams in baseball going to illegal depths with that, with technology, and they were the team that got called out for it and the team that got punished for it, even though there's a lot more others doing shady stuff too. But I always figured that Altuve was right in the middle of it. That's on me for not realizing that he didn't even do it, but at the same time, I love to hate the guy. And I think that even he would take that as a compliment.
White Sox Dave, Barstool Sports with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got your Cusack thing. Listen, I grew up there. I was a White Sox fan. I hated the Cubs. You find very few people who are fans of both teams in Chicago. Either you're a Sox guy or you're a Cub fan. Okay.
Mostly you're a Cub fan.
Mostly. No, well, more people are Cub fans. But but it was because of WGN, though. That's right, the biggest reason.
Right.
The White Sox were on Channel 44
when I was. Well, for me, I grew up, I was an Astros fan, but then I was also a Cub fan and not a Brave. I chose not to be a Brave fan.
Yeah.
I went with the Cubs.
Cubs, yeah. You can go with the Cubs because they were on TV every day.
Right.
But that's what happens. Yeah, you know, Cusack going back and forth. Dave, I'm with you. Pick a team and then suffer and live and die with them.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I was telling people while I was doing all the media rounds on this last few days is I don't care that he roots for both teams. What annoys me as a White Sox fan is that he only pops in when it's the good times for both teams. So he's like the worst of the worst when it comes to Fairweather fandom. I have been told that he calls and has his management team or whoever his people are and name drops himself to get premier tickets and demands to sit next to Eddie Vedder at Pearl Jam at Cubs games for, like, you know, game sevens and stuff. That annoys me. But at the same time, I was just walking up to him to bust his balls, and I figured he was going to laugh at it and, like, give me crap back. But, like, when he immediately became defensive and started throwing out players that were, you know, utility guys before I was even born, it threw me off. But, like, it's when the White Sox or Cubs are good, you'll see John Cusack on TV. Oh, mega fan, Chicago, John Cusack. Like, he wasn't in the stands when there was 40 degrees in April and there was 3,000 other White Sox fans watching them lose to the Tigers by 8 games, well, en route to losing 100 games. And, like, it was that construction worker from, you know, the South Side that's working 50 hours a week. That's the guy that was in there toughing out all those bad years. And that for Cusack to show up and, you know, they're going to put him on TV. He's going to do all the media interviews with the Tribune and WGN and whoever else. Like, no, that doesn't sit right with me. It just doesn't. But at the same time, like, I was going to bust his balls about it. And I thought he would have a laugh back, and it obviously didn't turn out like that. But I didn't mean to, like, actually be like, no, you're not allowed here. Like, he can obviously do whatever he wants. As lame as I think he approaches it is, it just, I don't know, the whole situation, it happened so fast. Like, I don't even, my head's still kind of trying to wrap it. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the whole situation.
That's funny. No big deal. Oh, well. John Cusack, whatever. Whatever, Cusack. He is. He's sitting. He's always sitting.
I like his movies.
Yeah.
No. So I want you to tell the, do you even listen, are you even listening to, I know you're pretty busy these days. Are you even listening to local radio? By any chance, sports talk?
No, never.
Okay. Because John and I did like a little 2 minute of Chicago radio. And it was about 20 seconds about the Sox and about a minute 40 about.
So I was doing the show, my show here on ESPN 97.5 from ESPN 1000 up in Chicago, Dave. And I said, hey, a little synergy you want to do? You guys, we can both do our shows together. We can talk about the game.
Simulcast.
Mm-hmm. with and they go, you know, it's the day after the Sox play. It's on the White Sox channel, ESPN 1000. They go, nah, we're probably not going to talk about them because we got the Bears game that we'll be talking about. I was like, Sox are in the playoffs. What are you talking about that you're not going to talk about the White Sox?
Yeah, I'm so checked out from I'm so checked out from football right now with the White Sox little mini run in the, you know, well, the whole season until the Astros series. But it is Bears season. I know that it's a Bears town in the end, even more so than a Cubs town. I'm sure they're directed to, talk. I mean, I'm sure the Bears are their moneymaker. Bears are our moneymaker at Barstool Chicago. So I get that, but at the same time, like, come on, you know? talk about the team that actually has a future in front of them, a good future in front of them. The Bears are not that.
No.
But like Waddle and Sylvie, like I like those guys, and they disagreed with me on the whole fandom thing. They're like, you can be a fan of both teams. Like, sure, but you can. I like a lot of people think that's lame, and you're going to be called out for it if they do. And that's just how I feel. But if that's your prerogative, that's your prerogative. But a lot of people are going to completely think that's just pink hat fandom.
White Sox Day, Barstool Sports. Hey, man, we appreciate it. Thanks for the time. Best of luck. Have fun. You got a long offseason now. Watch. We got to root for the Astros now, Dave. Let's go.
I think they're going to win it all. That lineup is just absurd. It does not quit. But, yeah, thanks for having me. We'll see you guys right here again next year. These two teams are going to go at it for the foreseeable future in the playoffs.
Yeah, right. We'll get you on next time.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, man. There's White Sox Dave, Barstool Sports here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's talk about Aqueduct Plumbing right now. Aqueduct Plumbing is spectacular. I love Billy and Mary and everything that they do over there. This is the kind of business that you want to support here in the city of Houston. And here's the thing is, I needed a plumber like a couple of weeks before this, before we got with them. I was like, I don't know any plumbers. I don't know where to. And oh, by the way, they're going to come to the house and you know how much they're going to charge? If you don't know somebody, you're going to feel like you know these people. They're going to give you an estimate. They're going to do that for absolutely free. Come to your house, which other plumbers are going to charge you just to show up. And then they're going to give you a fair estimate on work that they're going to do, Lance.
It's nothing worse than people, we'll be there when we get there, like of earliest times in 2 weeks. Plumbing stuff can't, you know, or 2 days, 3 days. Plumbing stuff needs attention. And then on top of that, well, we'll go out there, but I'm just letting you know it's $79. If for us to determine what the problem is, and then, you know, it's whether you use us or not. So I'm kind of stuck. So it's like a Tunsil deal. So it's kind of like that, where I have to pay. So now I have to stay with you because I'm already in for $79. Not with Aqueduct Plumbing. You can go to thebenchplumbing.com and set it up to where they can come out there and take a look at whatever the issues are. If you've got major jobs that need done or minor ones, they'll do it for you. Aqueductplumbing.com. Or just go to the website, thebenchplumbing.com, and you can get all the information you need. Thebenchplumbing.com.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What day is today? Today's Wednesday, right? Okay, I'm working tomorrow, but then I'm off on Friday. You know that, right? Yeah.
I was not aware, but
yes,
okay.
Yes, off Friday.
You said that a while back, but I'm like, surely John would not take off. Surely he loves the Astros enough to work when the Astros are playing, but apparently you don't. So we'll make sure
they,
and
they're not playing see Thursday, how your Red Sox are doing. So
Monday, your Red Sox are taking off Friday when they're gone.
Yeah, right. That's right. I'm going to be there back Monday to talk about the Astros from over
in.
The weekend.
Then I'm going to have Del come in.
All right, have Del come in. Bell?
I'm going to have Bell come in, and the whole thing will be...
He'll be gel.
You know, he's also a huge... He became a huge Astros fan because he didn't like other people. He saw the hypocrisy of other teams, mm-hmm. and he's like...
Now he's a big Astro fan?
Yeah, now he's a big Astros
fan. He's a big baseball guy.
Bell is a huge baseball guy. If you got something to say, Del,
say it.
There's,
all right, come in, say it, here.
Oh, let's get our college football expert and analyst,
Bell
Bolile, from the Killer Bees.
I don't know if you've heard.
Yeah,
I'm limited to 12 minutes of talk time a week. So I do my segment with you guys, and then I can maybe talk for 30 seconds at a time throughout the week.
You can't come in and do the show when John's gone.
No.
Yeah, 12 minutes. You're a baseball expert?
No, it's 12 minutes per week.
No, you've been extended. You've been extended.
Sorry. The segment on Fridays.
Alice in Borderland. Boop, boop, boop. Oh, we have 3 hours you can do.
The segment on Fridays, and then little interjections, if I'm asked, throughout the week on the Killer Bees of the Charlie Polillo Show. Coming up next, actually. So,
yeah.
Sorry, I can't.
You can't.
You're going to have to find someone else.
The Del Olale Show with Charlie next, right here on ESPN.
I don't
ESPN.
Think he'd be a fan of that.
97.5 and 92.5.
The Charlie Polillo Show next, right after the bench.
featuring Del Olale.
Bell Olale.
Bell. Well, not he's not Killer
Bee. No, not
on
in
that
show. Then he's
yeah, Kel. He's going to Killer Bee on Killer Bees.
Oh, by the way, now the segment of Friday's down to 9 minutes.
Now.
I'm going to call somebody and make you do
you
3 hours
this?
In the morning.
Hey, Lance, good news.
What?
Robot dogs now have assault rifles mounted on their backs.
Good news.
Good news.
Good news. Those robots now have assault rifles.
Look at this. Well, who thinks this is a good idea? You know, this is
nerds.
A pretty good idea when you got a guy hold nerds. Up and a... And he's killing people or whatever.
Yeah.
Just send in the robot assault rifle dog. It's not a bad idea.
Good news.
Good news.
Robot dogs have assault rifles.
Here's more good
now.
News, Lance. Here is a mom in, and she's a millionaire. Well, her husband is a hotel magnate. Okay.
That's a good start.
She has 11 children already, and she wants 105. Look at these little.
Just with her out of her womb?
No. She's having it's their babies, but surrogate moms. Surrogate moms are carrying the babies.
How many do they have to be newborns, or will you take a 13-year-old?
No, they want all newborns. Yeah,
not a 13-year-old.
Look at how many they have, and they're all the same age.
Looks terrible.
It's how about this? Should you and Nicole do this?
Let me tell you something. You know, my wife loves babies too.
Yeah,
and then loves little toddlers, and then they grow up, and you're like, oh.
It's a little a-holes.
This is why you want to, this is why you have leases for cars. I don't want to buy it. Well, you can buy it or trade it, but leases are like, all right, I can't wait. What year does this model go back? 9 years old. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, all right.
Last couple of years will be a little rough, but give me something to look forward to. Like my favorite age is 3 to about 2 to 6. That's my wheelhouse. I love that. Kids are super funny.
Yeah.
They're like, I
you take videos of them.
Yeah,
they say funny
it's
stuff.
Great. It's yeah. great. Yeah. Now, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 is just way different.
It sucks.
It's way, except for Maddie. That's my sweetheart. Yeah. I think she might be in a car right now.
Yeah, but she might. The Czech prime minister, apparently on the gravely ill president's deathbed, he promised that the prime minister could continue in his role. Well, that's what he says anyway.
Well, okay. He said that.
As long as he says that, right? He said it. A man has submitted a Guinness World Record, Lance. In 12 hours, he visited 51 bars. 51 bars in 12 hours.
Over
8 hours, 52 minutes, and 37 seconds. 51 bars. I could beat that tomorrow.
That's a joke. You could.
That's
what else is there? Does he have to have a drink? I mean, that's.
Yeah, you have to have a drink.
Eight,
that's 51 beers. 51 drinks.
That's a that could do some damage.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
He could be drinking 4.3 beer, alcohol level beer, and still it's still going to do a
number.
No,
it'll do his
over
damage.
That amount.
51
of time.
Is a good number. I like it. I'm shooting for 52.
You going to do it?
I'm shooting for it.
Hey, we can get a sponsor.
I don't know.
We can
I'm off Friday. I could do it Thursday.
I'd like to see a try. I'd like it streamed. I'd like video of it. No, you'll get canned.
Here's her.
Because you're going to say something.
I'll say something
at some
bad.
Point. Yeah. On beer number 36.
Yeah.
Something's coming out.
Something bad. I feel like a bad mum. An accountant, 26 years old, was cleared of drunk driving because she claimed she guzzled the vodka to calm down after crashing her Mercedes. Is this not brilliant? Carry a bottle of vodka with you. When you get caught for drunk driving, just start chugging. They can't say you were drunk before, and they test you. Yeah, well, I just drank all this vodka.
You know the mind blown gif that's out there? My mind is legitimately blown on this one. This is one of the if analytics could be applied to life. this is a way, because analytics is always taking kind of common sense and then elevating it and putting it logic to something that you hadn't thought of. This might be the most insanely
sneaky, diabolical
yes. move I've ever heard of.
We call those life hacks.
Yes. That's
just like
finesse in the game.
That feels like a bad life hack, but a life hack nonetheless. I'm not condoning that life hack. But if it's unopened. If it's open,
that's fine. Open bottle is better than a drunk driving. Way better.
Yeah, but you're right. All of a sudden, I just did five
officer,
shots now.
I'm really scared right now. You're going to kill me and chug down a bottle of vodka and then go, oh, you want to test me for, okay, well, look, I just drank this.
Sure. Yeah. Right, you can do ahead. This. How long is it going to take? Long enough for it to get into my bloodstream?
Yeah. All right, we're done. HRP isn't, though. HRP is working every single day. We're coming up on, like, payday, aren't we? Yeah. It's the 13th. We do 15th and 1st. I don't know what your business does if you pay every week, but biweekly or, whatever, bimonthly, however you do it. Whatever the case may be, we enjoy it this way, and HRP is there for us every single payday. It's perfect. We never have an issue. Laura is someone who you need to ask. She is our CFO. And she deals with HRP all the time, and she will give the most glowing recommendation. I don't know what your payroll company is like. I know ours is awesome. Ours has been awesome with the Affordable Care Act. Ours has been awesome with the pandemic, with the PPPs, with the small business loans, everything that we had to do, everything we had to get through, unemployment claims, all of that stuff. HR-wise, they're there every single time we need them. If you're looking for a payroll company that is going to be attentive to all of your needs and help you and your business, that's HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net. Charlie Polillo next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a great day, buddy. We're gonna be legends. Gonna get their attention. What we're doing here ain't just scary. It's about to be legendary. Bye, bitch. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.